Good morning, everyone. So in October, the board decided to start the post-implementation review of the classification and measurement requirements in IFRS 9. Today, we have for you Agenda Paper 3, which sets out a plan for phase one of the project, including objectives and a high-level overview of the phase one activities and expected timeline. We plan for phase one outreach to take place throughout the first half of next year, and that would facilitate the board publishing a request for information in Q3 2021. We are not asking the board to make any decisions based on this paper, but we would like to welcome any comments or questions that you might have. So with that, I will hand over to the board.
Thanks, Laura. Tadao.
Thank you, Sue. It's just one question that you mentioned that on paragraph 8, that the board may decide to undertake a research project. It's just an operational question. Can we jump to a standard setting project from a PIR, or actually you must pass through the research project?
So PIR, oh, Nelly, did you want to come in?
I'm happy to, would you like me to?
Sure, go for it.
Today, any standard setting project is going to have a moment of research, even if it's a very quick research phase, just to establish that there is an issue that is prevalent around the world and that there is a standard setting solution. So it would have a research phase, but it may not be. I'm so sorry. My dog is not happy. Any project would have a research phase, but it may not be a very long one before it moves on to standard setting.
Okay, thank you.
Anne.
Thanks, Sue. Thanks for the paper, Laura and Rhianna. And I agree with the approach that you're taking, starting with what the objectives of IFRS 9 classification and measurement were. And you've outlined in paragraph 15 and 16 the objectives for the PIR and some detail. So just share a couple of thoughts, things that we have been learning in relation to the PIR of 10, 11 and 12. I think it helps to think about what evidence you need to answer the questions. And the questions themselves, you need to decide, are they overarching questions or are they questions of detail? Now, IFRS 9, of course, is special and different. You already have a lot of feedback that you're working on. But I think you need to map out your framework, thinking about the questions you already know about, thinking about the stakeholders that have raised them, and then being open to whatever other questions there might be. And then equally, which stakeholder group are they coming from, or indeed, are they coming from a number of stakeholder groups? And so thinking about what evidence you need to answer the questions, and also thinking about the extent to which you can collect confirmatory evidence, because so many people want to tell you about their special little difficulty and problem. And so you get very quickly into the detail. And so I think you have to work out where that detail fits in the big picture that you're trying to put together. So I can imagine some sort of spreadsheet where you already predict, you use the information you've got and you predict what you expect to hear, but you allow for the things that you haven't predicted and where you think that evidence is coming from. And then you can slot in the additional things that you find out. Just a specific thing as well in relation to the objectives in paragraph 16, and you talk about classification and measurements. I didn't know whether you need to make a specific reference to disclosures as well. I know this is a PIR about classification and measurement, but there are related disclosures that are part of communicating information around classification and measurement. And I don't know whether that needs specific highlighting within what you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Anne. Mary?
Just quickly, Laura, I wanted to say I thought it was really, really useful that you started us out by reminding us about generically the purpose of a post-implementation review. And I wanted to encourage that we keep some of, you know, it did a good job at capturing the lessons learned as we have a bit more experience with doing PIRs and also communicating what the follow-on actions might be. So I just wanted to encourage you to continue to communicate that, not just to us, but also when doing outreach or preparing materials, because I think it's a very helpful context and reminder. So well done. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. I had a few comments as well. Thanks for the paper. I think it's good. One thing I am keen to try to make sure that we do in this PIR is that we perhaps make sure that we spend enough time ourselves thinking through the information that we are interested in, perhaps even in advance of talking to the people that we go and talk to, because I feel that in recent years we've got a little bit inclined towards being, from my perspective, a little bit too reactive to what other people tell us need to be looked at on the PIRs. And obviously we want to know that, but also I think we need to take a step back and think about more proactively what we want to learn from the PIRs. And some of that's to do with standard setting. So some of it, for example, I'm particularly interested to know whether we can learn anything from the way that we did the transition for classification and measurement so that we could have made it easier for people to transition from the old model to the new model, with it being less of an intensive contract by contract analysis, and whether we could have got to a similar place using different techniques. So those sort of standard setting things, but I'm also interested in looking at things that we might have expected to see if they were realised. And one of the examples I can think of off the top of my head is the reclassification and changes in business models. So we set out thinking that that was going to be something rare and unusual. We drafted it in a way that we thought that that was clear. Anecdotally, I think I've heard feedback that would suggest it's actually happening quite a lot. I think it would be useful to look at things like that to understand whether the requirements are working the way that we intended and whether they're providing useful information to investors, and to sort of dig in. And I think that, and another one that I've heard that I'd be interested in looking at a little bit more would be something like some rumours that we've heard about the OCI classification for equities being used opportunistically for people that might have wanted not to use equity accounting and things like that. I think understanding some of those nuances will be important, and I'm not sure they're all going to come through in conversations with people, particularly if people aren't uncomfortable with the outcomes, where they might have flexibility that we hadn't intended. I think we need to be a little bit proactive to dig into some of those areas. So I encourage us to do a bit of our, maybe a little bit more of our own thinking about areas of interest to us, to at least have in our minds when we go out and have these conversations with people. Tom?
On the academic, I've identified a couple of papers, and so if the staff are interested in getting going on that, I could share them with them.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. I'm sure they'd be very interested in that. Okay, staff, I think that's what you need in terms of us going off to be useful. So you don't need us to vote on anything, do you? Just comments and questions? So you've got what you want?
Right, that was it.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Thanks very much. Look forward to hearing back from you. Thanks. All right, so...